Narada Uvacha.
Shastik section. It's Antyalila chapter 20, and it's dealing with her mood. And it says, the last shloka is referring to Krishna as the lumpat, womanizer. And Sriji says, look, even if I be with another girl, and that gives me pain, Still, nonetheless, I don't hesitate to go and take her by the hand and bring her to Krishna. Krishna's satisfaction is my satisfaction, she says. I always try to please him in all respects. So even if Krishna goes to somebody else, and that gives Radharani pain, still Radharani is prepared to give Krishna whatever he wants. So even if he's a lumpat, even if he's a womanizer, like that. So when you see that shloka, you know, basically, her mood is she tries to put everybody forward. My dear Krishna, this person is better than me. And if somebody chants the glories of Radharani and prays to Radharani, then, and if Radharani voices her opinion that this person is good, then Krishna pays attention to that person, like that. So that's the idea. And since Sriji basically pervades every pastime of Krishna, literally, every pastime of Krishna and every relationship with Krishna, she basically pervades it, then, and encourages it. So it's interesting stuff. Saradaya Sarve, all of the compassionate demigods, Brahma, Rudra, Puras, Sara, all of them completely manifested. Notpaitum Ashakanamanyu. They couldn't go, they couldn't find themselves to go near the Lord. Sam Brahman, Sudarasadam. Very difficult to go forward. You mentioned very difficult for them to go forward. They couldn't do it. They couldn't go there, you know, like that. So then they're thinking, how to go there? Well, Nrisingadeva appeared to protect Prahlad Maharaj, and so they pushed him forward. They pushed him forward to pacify the Lord. And they were successful. They pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward to pacify the Lord. And seeing Prahlad Maharaj, you know, falling down and offering obeisances to Nrisingadeva, then Nrisingadeva became very mellow. His anger dissipated, just like the demigods wanted. So it's pretty good. It's pretty nice. Now, it's like I mentioned before, Krishna's not interested in what we give him. He wants what's behind our back. Now, he always promises that anybody who takes shelter of him, he's going to protect. Ramachandra is worshipped because this principle is glorified in Sanatan Shiksha, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22. It's in verse number 34, when Sri Ramachandra says, Sakrit eva prapano yas tavasmi te chayacha te Abhayam sarvata tasmai dadam etadvratam mama. It's my vow. If anybody once says, I belong to you, then from that day forward, I will award them courage, and they'll be protected from that day forward. So Ramachandra likes to do that. Now, when I saw that shloka, I thought it was quoted, Prabhupada quoted, it's from Valmiki Ramayana, Yudhakanda, chapter 17, verse 33. And I thought, must be Vibhishana, because only Vibhishana did that. What happened was Ravana rebuked and rejected Vibhishana's desire to make peace with Ramachandra and return Sita Devi. So then after Vibhishana was rebuked by his brother, then he defected, basically. He wanted to see Ramachandra, and he came in the firmament with his ministers and people like that. And Sugriva thought, hey, he's a spy. He's going to come and see our weakness, what's the size of our army, etc., etc. So then Ramachandra says, look, Even if Ravana is ready to bow his head and apologize, I'm ready to accept him. What to speak of Vibhishana? And Sugriva goes, okay. So that was a story that happened. That was the story that... Now Krishna is basically ready to pacify and protect anybody who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Narottam Thakur Mahasai says in Prema Bhakti Chandrakoi, Ashrayalaye bhaje Krishna tyari nyahi chaje arasabamaro akaran. That if you take shelter of Krishna to worship him, Krishna will never give you up, and everyone else in this world dies uselessly. Now everybody needs a good friend. Basically, in our interpersonal relationships, people just tolerate our existence like that, basically. They tolerate us. And I have to ask my sannyas guru about a godbrother. There was a godbrother in Boston who was named Varnashrama, and he was white. He had some diabetes too, and he was fatty, okay? He was big. So he used to go on the marathon a lot. And so in the Christmas time, he was working out like everybody was, you know, doing stuff. And he was doing all types of stuff, scalping tickets, doing what so many things, you know, to collect cash for the temple. And so it was described that during Christmas time and stuff like that, you know, after working hard the whole 3 weeks in the marathon, people were exhausted. And he would fall asleep in the class. He'd stand up. And he's falling asleep standing up. And he would hit the ground. And, you know, and I got asked in Narendra Maharaj, you know, how many kilos was the guy? He must have been 250 or something, you know. Like that. And he goes, boom, the whole temple room would shake when he hit the ground. And Narendra Maharaj says, I went out on Sankirtan, you know, must have been December 26 or something. And I peeked in, and everybody in the temple room, including the speaker, was asleep. He goes, that was a shock. Everybody in the temple room was asleep, and including the speaker. That was interesting things. So when a devotee falls asleep, now the Prabhupada didn't like people falling asleep in his class. In Hindi, in Vrindavan in 1976, somebody would fall asleep and snore. Prabhupada said, send him out. Send him to the ashram. And he would turn to Tamal. Who is that man? He would ask. Then, but if in 1968, when Jayananda, in an evening darshan with Prabhupada, would fall asleep, then Prabhupada would say, let him sleep! Let him sleep! He's working harder than 10 of you. So, you know, it's always kalidation, patra, time, place, and circumstance. And we have to see what the person's actually really doing, you know. Let him sleep, let him sleep. He's doing more than 10 of you. So, you know, it's interesting stuff, you know. These are interesting things to think about, you know. Varnashram, what happened was, is my godbrother Bhagavat, who's now a sannyasi in the Narayan Maharaj group, he was an Ayurvedic doctor. So he was trying to wean him off of insulin shots by Ayurvedic medicine. Now, you can do that, but you have to check your blood sugar very regularly. You know, you have to wean yourself off of insulin very slowly. You know, so Varnashram, evidently he didn't do that. And so they tried to wake him up. Bernie, 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 Mangalarti, Bernie, Bernie. He left his body in the middle of the night, you know. He left his body in the middle of the night. Hey, watch your blood sugar real well, you know, like that. If you're going to wean yourself off insulin, do it very slowly and very carefully. Varnashram is an example of that because devotees are very rare souls. We really don't want to lose them. We really don't want to lose them at all, you know. And like that, so devotees are pretty rare. You know, there may be easy journey to other temples, you know, for people that move around and stuff like that, you know. like that. But still, devotees are very, very rare. Really try to preserve manpower as much as possible. Hey, what about the garlands for the deities? Somebody's doing them. They're not going to do it in class? Huh? They're doing it downstairs. All right, as long as they hear. Okay, so Krishna is not interested in what you give him. He wants what's behind your back. And everybody has their idiosyncrasies. Everybody is better than some and worse than others. And basically, everybody in our interpersonal relationship just basically tolerates our existence. They don't really love us. But Krishna's within the heart, and every living entity is his part and parcel, vibhinamsha. And he genuinely has affection for every living entity. And that is Sarita Sarvabhutanam, mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. I'm the friend of every living entity. And that is most comforting. Prabhupada said, you don't have to go very far away to get your best friend's advice. And he comes in the heart, and he gives a lot of advice, intelligence. Dadami buddhiyogam tam. I give the intelligence, yena mambo payante te, so that they can come to me. Who? Yesham satata yuktanam. Those are always serving with devotion. Bhajatam priti purvaka, worshipping me with love, you know, and then like that. Priti purvaka means with love. They're giving things. Basically, everything in this world is going downhill. We try to give the best we got to Krishna, but it's just going downhill like that. But the main thing is to offer it with love. Now, sometimes love is there and the item is just not proper. Like, for example, somebody gave Bhaktidas Babaji a raw aubergine, a raw eggplant, okay? Green. And he cut it into 4 pieces and he gave it to Gurnatai and took 1 piece and passed the rest out to his servants who were traveling with him. And he said, wow, that was really good taste. He just put some salt water on it and gave it. Here you go. He just gave it to Gurnatai like that. And it was really good. It was kacha. It was completely unripe. And it was green also. It was not a ripe eggplant. It was green also. And he cut it into pieces, 4 pieces, put some salt on it, and gave it to Gurnatai with his hand. And ate 1 piece and passed it out to this other man. And it was really tasty, they said. So even if something is lousy, and it's made with devotion and offered to the Supreme Lord, it's wonderful. I remember in my childhood, if my mother made eggplant with zucchini, I would throw up. I remember that. But when I was in the temple, I was eating some evening prasadam in Denver Temple. Must have been, 72, something. 72, I forget which month. Must have been April, May, something. Because I came in January for the first time. Must have been, God, you know, could have been August, something. But I remembered, wow, hey, this is the same preparation that my mother made. You know, a little bit different. They put some green bell pepper in it. They put some chickpeas in it. It's called eggplant balaram, famous preparation. And I'm not throwing up. It's because, it's offered to Lord Jagannath. That's why. It was offered with Lord Jagannath with love. Love is the main thing. You're not cooking because you have to. You cook because you want to. Those days are basically gone. People are cooking. In the old days, prasadam was a very big attraction. People used to go halfway across town just in the temple to get prasadam. Nowadays, it's just not there. I was in Auckland, and my disciples gave me some prasadam from the temple. And they said the attendance in the Sunday feast is decreasing. What for? And I just took a little bit of it. It wasn't hitting on nothing. And I, you know, because I'm an old cook. You know, you can never eat peaceful for the rest of your life. Everything is reverse engineering. So I just gave it away to them. Ah, you guys take it. It ain't hitting on nothing. It's lousy, you know, stuff. And I gave it to them. And they said, hey, the Sunday feast attendance is going down. I said, what to do? The people are voting with their feet. You know, it's not worth it for us to get in the car and drive halfway across town if what we're going to get, we're going to do better than that in our house. Like that. So it's, prasadam was really a big pull. And we used to break our rear in the old days, 40 times, 50 times, tweaking that preparation until it was great. If it's not stolen, it's not good enough. And if the fire of digestion doesn't roar with one bite, cook failed. You know, and that was our mood in the old days. We used to really work hard at the preparation. And once it was good, then you got your name on it. And it went all across the world, across America and across the world. It was a good preparation. These are the days before cookbooks, the days before email, the days before. And everybody was, recipes were hand-delivered from one cook to another hand. That was the way it was in the old days. And we just, and we would always love to cook preparations that were famous by different cooks in North America and England and, you know, and Europe and like that. Very famous preparations like that. And a cook knew how to take ordinary stuff and turn it really neat. I remember in Nityananda Trayodasi Fest Feast in 1987, we were asked to help in Vrindavan with the cooking. And my godbrother from Melbourne, Kurma, he's in Perth, and he travels a lot doing cooking classes around the world. But he's a friend. I can always bug him on email if I have a question, culinary question or something. Need a recipe, you know. Pa! You know, he's fast. So he looked in the bottom of the pot. Who taught you to make a masala like that? So I told Govinda Maharaj, who was an old cook also, I said, hey, can you tell him to call his dogs off, you know? I know how to cook, you know. He can chastise me at the end of the feast when it's all gone. When the preparation's gone, you know. All right. He left me alone. Leave him alone. Let him try it, you know. He left me alone. Okay. At the end of the feast, when it was all gone, then Kurma came up to me and offered me some gulab jamuns. You know, here's the gulab jamun. You know, I'm sorry. You know, like that. And all the Aussies roared with laughing. What? You cooked with Kurma and lived to tell the story. Because Kurma was like super heavy on his pot washers and people. He was like very intolerant, very heavy guy. What? You cooked with Kurma and lived to tell the story. They laughed at him. Very funny stuff. In Chicago, I remember at Rathiatra in 75, we cooked 10,000 gulab jamuns from St. Louis and brought them up in barrels. Here, and served about, you know, it must have been State Street Park or something like that, you know. And we only distributed half of them, okay, like that. So the other half came back. Now, what is a small Sangatan temple going to do with 5,000 gulab jamuns, you know, and a lot of water, you know, like this? So they announced, we're going to have a board meeting, you know, and I knew what was going on, you know, and so I had rounds of chant. I went out the back door to go to St. Louis University and chant my rounds, you know, like that. I knew what was going on, you know, like this. And who had happened? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I think he won because he took 78 gulab jamuns and he digested them. My godbrother Rasaraj took 79. But he threw up in the bushes, so he was disqualified. And Vaisheshika ate like 87. I mean, 77, something like that, you know. And naturally, you know, we weren't there because we knew what was going on, you know. It was going to eat all these. And a board meeting meant left side down on the boards, you know. That was called a board meeting, you know. And we have all this old prasadam, and you got to eat this stuff. Now, I remembered in, they had a meeting in Gita Nagari. Oh, God. I think it was 76, something like that. And I was situated in Kansas City, Kansas. Okay? And we had to drive halfway across America to get to Gita Nagari from Kansas. So I had these 5-gallon barrels full of stuff. So I made gulab jamuns. I made Vishnugadas, apple chutney, but it had lemon in it, which went bad. Okay? Vishnugadas apple chutney is famous with lemon and ginger in it. And it's really, really good. So I made apple chutney, and I made gulab jamuns, and I made something else I forgot. Okay? And the gulab jamuns went off. Okay? So my godbrothers were chasing me down in Gita Nagari and poured 4 liters of fermented gulab jamun juice in my throat. And I threw up in the bushes like that. And all my cook friends says, what you got to do that for? You just simply boil it and all the bacteria will go away. You know, you're using gulab jamuns for a daily sweet or something like that, you know. And you'd simply boil it and all the bacteria goes away. Pretty good. And the same thing holds true with any drink. Any drink, any charnamrit goes off. Simply boil it. It's not going to taste the same, but it's not going to mess your stomach up. All the bacteria is gone. And I used to do it with any drink. Any tea, any sugar tea with honey, whatever, like that. Anything like that. Or any. Sometimes charnamrit will go. My deity charnamrit will go in bottles because I've got lousy digestion. So sometimes I don't drink at all. Not like that. And there's sometimes a little bit of leftover on the side of the bottle. And it reacts with everything else. And it goes. Okay? So you simply put it in a pot and boil it. And it's fine. And put it back in the bottle. Wash the bottle out and put it back in the bottle. And it's fine. Not a problem with that. You know? I learned that. My cook friends, what they got to do that to you for? You simply boil it up and all the bacteria go. We learned that at that time. But the chutney was gone. There was nothing you could do with that. You know, when the lemon goes and an apple chutney, forget it, you know, like that. So basically, the apple chutney went bad, you know. I think we made an attempt, but I don't think it works, you know. You can't boil apple chutney and get rid of that badness of that of the lemon went bad. I don't think so. I'll never forget it. And another thing is, we were cooking for 3 days gulab jamuns in St. Louis, and so when the devotees would do Tulsi Puja, we were thinking that the devotees circumambulating Tulsi Rani were just like the gulab jamuns going around the ghee. We were like hallucinating, you know. Gulab jamuns, you know, when you're cooking for 3 days straight, gulab jamun batches, you know, like that. Then that was what we were doing. We were seeing all that. That was pretty funny stuff. So everything has to be done with bhava. And there was a disciple, there was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, famous, named Shuklambara Brahmachari. And he was doing madhukari, which means you're going to seven houses, Brahmin houses, and begging. Bo Bhatir Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. Oh, opulent mother, give some alms, like that. Bo Bhatir Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi, like that. And so you can hear that line in Chanakya, in the stories, like that, in Chanakya movie. So it was pretty good. So, but they may give, they may not give, no. Oh, they'll give something now, whatever they got. They give some rice, they give some dal, they give some vegetables, God knows. You know? So, he was thinking of Lord Gauranga a lot. And say, Bo Mater Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. Give, oh, opulent mother, give something, you know. So, mother would give something. And then, they may give, they may not give. So, he was thinking of Gauranga. And so, when he came back from his Bhiksham Madhukari, begging, then Lord Gauranga says, what do you got in the jula, in the bag? And so he said, Shuklambara said, it's not fit for you. It means he has to cook it, he has to wash it, he has to prepare it. And Gauranga put his hand in the bag and took it raw. Popped it in his mouth. There's an Orya, the temple president in Juhu, he's 56 years old, my same age, Brajahari Das. He told me that in his childhood in Orissa, that people used to grow stuff so purely and so nicely that the children could take raw rice and pop it in your mouth and it would totally go. Totally digest. Raw! Completely uncooked. So there was a lot of love there. So if you make something with love, chanting the Lord's names, Krishna will come and steal it before you even offer it. That's cool. Now, Krishna's thievery pastimes are famous. In 10th Canto, chapter 5, when Krishna and Balaram grow up, they start their thievery pastimes. So Mother Yasoda's friend said to her that if your son comes to our house and asks for milk products, if we give it to him voluntarily, he's not happy. He wants to steal it. The whole idea was, suppose you gave a donation, you know, it's gone. Nah, I forgot about it. $20, you know, you gave somebody $20. I forgot about it, it's gone. But if that kid comes to your house and steals from your house, you don't forget that kid, you know. And smartavyasatata vishmur, vishmartavyana jachuchit, you know. It says in Vishnu Purana, you should always remember Lord Vishnu and don't forget him at any time. So Krishna's just trying to do that, that's all. Make sure that you'll always remember him and never forget him, you know. So he steals just so that you'll never forget him. It's not the milk products. It's the love behind the milk products that he stole, you know. So the love has to be really good. If the love is there, Krishna will steal it. It doesn't matter what it is, outfit or garlands or food stuff or some offering to Krishna, make it with love. Make it with really love. Saturate with love. Saturate with their lordship's names. Saturate it with thought. And it's nice. I remember there were Sangirtan boys in St. Louis when I was a pujari. They used to work really, really, really hard during class making garlands for the deities. They would make very, very colorful garlands according to the outfit that were going to be worn. And they were really, really good garlands. And they liked to make them for the Lord. And the Lord obviously liked, because these devotees would offer with love. And sometimes these boys would complain. They would come back late at night, and there's nothing for them to eat. The cook left to go home and be with his wife, you know. And there's nothing for us to eat, and we're starving. And I said, give me 15 minutes. Let me put the deities to rest. And I'm meditating. What's in the walk-in? You know, like that. And what can I do for the boys? And we did it. We did something. It was a very fun story, you know. I remember going way up. The temple president was in the guru room on the fourth floor. And it was like August. You know, it's like 90 degrees, pushing 100, you know, like that. And he had the AC going full blast in the room. And he covered himself up with a blanket. And I would go up there, hey, Sura, you know, the devotees are there. It's 11 o'clock at night. They want to take some prasadam. Get out of here! But Sura, we made some prasadam for them. We made Vaishnava fries and tomato chutney and grapefruit juice for the boys and like that. And he goes, really? Really? He would come down and eat prasadam. We're all talking jokes about, you know, all the boys they ripped off in the airport and like that, you know. And we're roaring with laughter at 11:30 at night, you know, eating prasadam. Eating prasadam at 11:30 at night, you know, and swapping stories and like that, you know. Tell us another story, you know. And the boys would tell us stories, and it was a hilarious time, you know. Scarfing prasadam at 11:30 at night, you know, 11:20, 11:15 at night, and swapping stories. Well, that was fun. Ooh. That was a good old days, you know. We used to have a lot of fun with those days. That was pretty neat, you know. So these same Sangirtan devotees, they used to really make really nice garlands for their lordships. And it was all very decorative. And so you know that the Lord really liked to accept that garland, that love from the devotees. So sometimes Krishna's gopis would make garlands and cry. When will Krishna come and accept our garlands? So the love of a devotee is very, very important. You know, the garland may be not good, may be too small, whatever, but the love should be offered. You make it bigger, whatever you got to do, and you offer it. Because the love of the devotee worked hard on that. And therefore, just get some other, put flowers and stuff and stretch it, you know. There's no flowers, use leaves, you know. Use green leaves. Fold them up and use green leaves, you know, like that. There's a way. There's a way to get around it, you know. There's a way to get around it. Actually, it says if you offer one tulsi manjari, you get the benefit of offering all fragrant flowers. You know how much trouble it is to grow those fragrant flowers? You know how much trouble to collect it? In the wintertime, flowers are very, very expensive. You can offer Krishna one tulsi leaf. She's Pushpashara, the essence of all flowers. To offering Krishna one tulsi leaf equals all types of fragrant flowers. Four out, you know. Cheap and best. In the wintertime, you have difficulty offering flowers, just offer one tulsi leaf. Don't worry about it, you know. Krishna will be happy with that, one tulsi leaf. It says, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Krishna can give up mukta, one flower. Mogra, which is jasmine, representing Lakshmi Devi, Padma Purana says. Komal, lotus, and hanker for dry tulsi. Not bad. Even if tulsi's dried, you can use it. It's neat stuff. Like that, it's neat stuff to offer the Supreme Lord the love. So, all this important demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other compassionate demigods, Dayasura, it says here, Dayasura. Sura Daya, Sura Daya Sarve, they were very kind demigods. Sarve, all of them. And they note put him asakan manya manyu sambramam sudarasadam. They couldn't go near Nrisingadeva. Very difficult to go near Nrisingadeva. And even Lakshmi Devi was shocked. She never saw such a manifestation. She didn't go near. She was completely shocked at Nrisingadeva. Ugra Nrisingadeva has got Prahlad Maharaj there because only Prahlad could pacify Nrisingadeva. Even Lakshmi Devi was scared and she didn't go near. So that form is called Ugra Nrisinga, which is only for renunciates to worship. You know, and householders should not. If householders worship the Lord, Lakshmi Devi must be there, even if you can't see her. Even if you can't see her, she must be there. Otherwise, it would not be possible for householders to worship Nrisingadeva without Lakshmi Devi there. Pretty interesting stuff. All right, Hare Krishna. I have to go do my puja. Is there any questions? Can I serve the devotees? Yes, Prabhu? Hey, I want to also thank the devotees who did Jagran last night. It's never easy, to tell you frankly. I did Mohini Ekadasi on May 21st in Dallas. And at that night, I had a lot of editing work to do, about 2 hours of editing work of my Tulsi Amritam ebook that I still got worked through. And I did that. And I had absolutely no problems. Stayed up all night, stayed for the Mangal Arati. I had no problems at all. Some days you got problems, some days you don't got problems. Hey, practice makes perfect. So it's going to take a while for people to get used to these things, these kind of things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we're here for a very short while. If the body wears out by constant service to Lord Hari, our efforts will be crowned with success. In Amritavani, he said, physical illness with Hari Bhajan is preferable to physical fitness without Hari Bhajan. You know, it's a toss-up. Hey, look, even if somebody, they mentioned statistics that if somebody gets like less than 4 hours of sleep, then their brains don't work very properly, you know, or like this. There's so many things like that, you know. You're more susceptible to heart attacks or like so many things like that, you know. And in old age, mostly you try to take care of your health. But we should, keeping Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mention in line, sure we should try to take our health, take care of our health, but we should also try to increase our bhajan. So it's basically that. What's your question, Prabhu?
Raj, you were speaking about how the gopis would make a garland for Krishna, but then they'll say, when will Krishna come and accept my garland? You're making this point? You're making this point that the gopis, they would also make garlands for Krishna.
Huh?
But then they would cry, when will Krishna come and accept my garland?
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about this. Like in my own personal experience, like sometimes when you make offerings to Krishna, the mood isn't really that, doesn't even cross your mind that Krishna won't even come and accept.
Yeah.
You just think, oh, I said the mantras.
Yeah.
So
we're off.
Yeah, we're off.
Our mind is off. Yeah. So?
So what should be the mood when you're making offerings?
The mood is we should offer with love. If there's no love, then what to do? Sometimes people make it anyway. That's why the pujari sprinkles water on the offering. Inam pani anavyanjana paniam samarpayami, like that, they offer. Because the water of the conch shell purifies the offering. And the Lord may accept the offering because of Tulsi, not because of us. Or if something is really bad, then the cooks say, Krishna saw it coming, you know. Krishna's really smart guy. He probably knows what's going on, you know. So probably saw it coming and didn't even look at it or whatever like this. Or maybe accepted it at a glance or far away or God knows, you know. We used to, there was some, for the purpose of Sangirtan, that sometimes the temple president, who was a lousy cook, would do the offering, and everybody would go out on Sangirtan. So we used to joke about it. That Gaur would talk to Natai and say, hey, look, if he's going to continue to give us his lousy stuff, I'm going to go to Navadvip and eat with Mother Satchi. She knows how to cook for us. We used to joke like that, you know. And it was really, I mean, like, some of it was really, really bad cooking. I mean, like, really stuffing, you know. Horrible stuff, you know. I mean, like, we wouldn't dare give Krishna that stuff, you know. Then another thing was, if you're preaching, you can put an apple in front of Gauranga, Gornatai, and take it away at night, you know. So preaching is also very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should see that also. So it's a toss-up. We need to give Krishna good offerings, good love. At the same time, we need to preach. So if preaching was the mood, even if the offering was lousy, Krishna may accept it anyway. You know, like this. So you should, in one sense, he who lives in glass houses should be very careful about throwing stones, you know. So it's very, you know, we used to razz people for lousy offerings or lousy service or something, you know, like that. Yeah, I remember once in Tawako, New Jersey, my Gujarati friends took me to there, because they're members there, and they want to give you some prasadam on the Sunday feast. What's your opinion? I said, if I wanted to be liberal, the cook should be retrained. If I wanted to be literal, he should be taken out and shot. Because anybody can cook like that, you know. Anybody can cook like that, you know. And, you know, it's really tough when you're an old cook. You know, you've been there and seen that, you know. It's like, it's tough stuff, you know. So, Krishna may have seen it coming. We also have to consider, what was the preaching involved? Was the preaching involved, you know? And therefore, Lord Chaitanya might have taken it because of the preaching was involved. We also have to consider it, if it's not, is it always like that? Is it just now and then it's lousy? Or is it always continually lousy? You know, like that. We have to consider it like that. And if it's continually lousy, then we think, well, Krishna might have accepted it because of Tulsi, not because of us. And then also, sometimes Krishna saw it coming, you know. He's a smart fellow, you know. He's not going to be backed away in the corner by nobody, you know. Not even his gopis, nobody backs up. It was mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, sometimes Mother Yasoda's anxiety. Well, naturally, mothers do that. Gets on the child's nerves. So Mother Yasoda would call Krishna. And Krishna would come forward and she would adjust something with Krishna's cloth or something like that. And then call Balarama. Balarama, make sure he does like the, you know, like this. And then finally Krishna has to fall at Mother Yasoda's feet. Mother, can I go play with the boys in the forest? Mother, can I go? He has to take permission and go. It's so much, you know. I'll be all right, Mother. Don't worry about it. Leave me alone now. Can I go play with my friends? Come on. Taking care of the cows was an excuse. The cows basically take care of themselves. Playing was the big business, you know. Cows are an automatic pilot, you know. Basically, the cows take care of themselves. The big thing was playing with the friends. And the cows also love Krishna so much. They wouldn't even eat a blade of grass until they saw Krishna in the morning. That is important. Ramachandra had a brahmana that wouldn't, unless he saw Ramachandra, he wouldn't eat his meal. And Lakshman said, this brahmana has been fasting for a whole week, hasn't seen you. And so they gave the deity to the brahmana, like that, deity of Ramachandra. They gave it, the deity. They gave him to the Brahman. Actually, that deity came down in disciplic succession. It was given from the Raghu dynasty to some princess who was giving in dowry to the Surya dynasty. So that it was her deity, family deity. So it went with her, okay, as part of her dowry. And so then later on, during the Kurukshetra War, Lord Balarama came down and with a bunch of brahmanas to South India, and he saw the big deity down there. And he goes, in Melkute. And he goes, this is just right for our small deity and family. Really? So then after the Kurukshetra battle, Krishna went down there and saw it. It's called in Sanskrit, Yadavagiri. The mountain of the Yadavas, they made a lot of pilgrimage down there. A lot of Yadus went there, a lot. Not only Balarama, the chief of the Yadus, and Krishna, but a lot of the Yadus went down there, must have. Otherwise, why is it called Yadavagiri, like that? So it's pretty neat. So when Krishna saw it, he goes, Balarama, you're right, and gave the deity, Nanda Maharaj had worshipped that deity, also in that family. What happened was, there's a famous festival around Gaur Purnima in this city called the Vairamudi Utsav. So what happens was, Vairamudi was a crown. Now, the story goes that on the milk ocean, the Lord was reclining on Sesha and hearing the prayers of his devotees. And he took his crown off and left it on the side of his body, and he woke up, his crown was gone. Who was the last devotee offering prayers? And he asked Lakshmi, did you see who took my crown? I've been massaging your feet. She said, I didn't see anybody. Who was the last person? Turned out to be Bali Maharaj. And he goes, Bali has stolen my crown, Garuda. Now, he's a devotee. Don't beat him. So they wrestled for 1,000 celestial years, tugging on the crown. And the crown was jerked out of the hands of Bali by Garuda. And it mentions that the jerking was going on for so long that some of the gemstones that are divine gemstones fell out of the crown. So when they brought that crown to some other artisans in material, he says, the gems on the other side are divine. Any gems we put will be an offense, you know, we can't compared to the gems across it. So they left it blank, like that. So, and that crown is considered to be the Aniruddha Kirti from the milk ocean. Aniruddha is the Lord in charge of the mind. Okay? And lakhs of people come from Bangalore and other places, including Muslims. They'll come and they'll see the Lord dressed up in the card festival in the night with that thing. And if you're a devotee, you see it as a diamond. And if you're a non-devotee, you see it as a lump of coal on the head of the Lord. Pretty interesting stuff. Vairamudi Utsav. It used to go for, 100 kilometers or something like that. Kept in the safe in the vault of in Mysore. used to belong to the king. Then, during the British Raja, it was kept for 50 kilometers. People would worship it for 50 kilometers in procession, offer boga and so many things like that. Then in the English, the Indian period, since independence in 1947, now it goes only 15 kilometers like that in procession. People offer boga and like that for 15 kilometers. And one of the sadhus, he's elderly now, retired, hasn't left his body yet, Lakshmi Tathachar, told me personally that actually I'm one of the priests that wrap up the crown before it goes back to the vault in Mysore. And it has a date on it, 1287, something like that, which is Srila Ramanujacharya's, 1296, something like that, which is Srila Ramanujacharya's time. Basically, it means that they had another artisan manufacture a duplicate crown, but the public thinks it's the original crown. So we don't bother their Shraddha by telling the truth. He told me that story, that it's actually a 1296 on the side of the crown, which means somebody else made it. It's a duplicate crown. At least even then, stuff was pretty good, Artisans were good, jewelers were good. But he told me they didn't put any jewelry on it because they considered it would be an offense to the other jewels, the other divine gems that are flawless. No gem in this material world could compare to that gem. Garuda, Bali Maharaj was the last person offering prayers. He stole my crown. So you can get it from him, but don't beat him. He's a devotee. So 1,000 celestials. So what happened is Garuda got the crown back, okay? And then Krishna and Balaram had descended in Vrindavan. So he was on his way back to Vaikuntha with the crown. He saw Krishna and Balaram are there in the forest of Vrindavan. So he landed, and he thought, well, I should go so far, and gave the crown to them. So the crown is a Chintamani crown. Okay, so they put it on Balarama's head, and the crown went, chit, and it shipped to his head. And all the boys were in stitches. They laughed at that, because Balaram looked pretty funny with that crown. Evidently, it's a very opulent crown and like that, and Balaram was a coward boy, like that. And then they put the crown on Krishna's head, and the crown went, chit, like that, and to adjust Krishna's head size. And all the boys were in stitches. And then Krishna and Balaram said, what are we going to do with this crown? He says, we'll give it to Narayan Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is Narayan deity. So they gave it to that deity. Famous story how it worked out. Between Lakshmi Tathachar and Gorkheshwar, he told me this story. Pretty neat story about this crown. And this crown is for like 6 hours from 9 p.m. at night until 3 in the morning. It's going on Car Street around this temple. And literally 4 lakhs of people, 400,000 people will come from Bangalore just to see this crown. And there's a... another thing about it is that the Mughals were stealing deities, breaking Hindu temples, killing sadhus. And so the vault was full of deities. So Srila Ramanujacharya, when he got to Melkote, he went in front of the Lord. And he goes, where is your Utsav Murti? He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, he's in Delhi. Really? So Srila Ramanujacharya went with a procession of sadhus all the way to Delhi and asked the Sultan, we want the deity back. God, I got so many Hindu idols in my treasury. How do you know that? So, if you go in the treasury, if you find it, you can take it. So Srila Ramanujacharya went with all of his devotees and went inside the Sultan's treasury and looked, and they couldn't find it. Then Srila Ramanujacharya sat in meditation and prayed to the Lord, where are you? And the Lord told him, I'm with the Sultan's daughter's room, the private room of the Sultan's daughter, Muslim girl, like that. And so Srila Ramanujacharya said that. Now the mantri, Hindu prime ministers. Muslims kept Hindu prime ministers because they wouldn't riot and try to usurp the throne like that. So this guy was smart, Brahmin. So he goes, look, if he's got such a nice relationship with him, if he can talk, he can walk also. So if he can talk with Krishna, then why Krishna can't walk? So that was a way, because the girl, you know, was attached to the deity, worshiping the deity in her own private quarters. So they made this condition. All right, the deity can go with you if he'll walk to you. So Srila Ramanujacharya accepted that and sat in meditation and said, Selva Pillai, oh child Narayana, please come. And the Lord got up and walked. God, they must have really flipped out, you know. These Muslims must have really freaked out that the deity walked out of her private quarters and sat on his lap. And Srila Ramanujacharya embraced the deity and ran out fast. So the girl flipped out. Naturally, the princess flipped out. And she told her father about it, and the father sent the army off. And Srila Ramanujacharya and his party split and ran like hell, because they knew some of these guys are going to go after us, like this. So the princess complained, "Oh, I can't live, my blood. So they sent the army after it, after Srila Ramanujacharya to get the deity back. And Srila Ramanujacharya's party went really fast to South India. So the advancing army couldn't catch up. So later on, this Muslim girl, there was a boy in the army that had the hots for this princess, okay? And so she says, hey, we've reached the end of the line, the kingdom, and we've got to go back, turn around and go back, unsuccessful. So she went under the wire, meaning under the kingdom, to the other kingdom, and with her boyfriend, and went there. And so she's there, and because she's from a Muslim family, they wouldn't let her take darshan of the deity. So it says that she actually made a tunnel to the temple. In the nighttime, she'll go and take darshan of the deity. So this child Narayan deity has a small little figurine of her, Bibi Nachar. Bibi Nachar was a girl who was a dancer for the Lord. And therefore, a lot of those people that come from Bangalore are Muslims also, because they're coming to see her also at the feet of child Narayan. He's got chubby cheeks, kid, really young, really sweet, like this. Really sweet little kid, you know. Narayan is a sweet little kid. And this Bibi Nachar is at his feet, you know, on the bottom. And he's going around procession for 6 hours, from 9 o'clock p.m. to 3 a.m, you know, like, and literally 4 lakhs of people will come from Bangalore to take darshan of that Lord of that night, you know. It's a neat festival. It comes around Gaur Purnima time. Pretty cool festival. What happened to them? What happened to the microphone? The microphone's gone.
Someone watching the class is asking a question online. May I ask that question?
He has a question. Somebody else has a question.
Yeah.
So what's the question?
This is from Carlos. Thanks, Maharaj, for the lecture. My question is, what's more important, quality of the offering or the mood of the offering?
If the mood of the offering is there, the quality will be there. But try to give the best thing. But naturally, the mood is more important than the quality. That was the essence of Vansidas Babaji Maharaj's offering. They gave him a kacha begun, an unripe green eggplant. Not really fit, not proper. And he cut it into 4 pieces, stuck some salt on it, and gave it to Gornatai. And ate 1 piece and gave the other 3 pieces to his servants. And he said, well, it's pretty good, you know. So even if something is not good, if it's saturated with devotion, then Krishna will like it anyway. Naturally, you try to get the best you got. Sometimes you just don't got the best. You're stuck with stuff. In the old days, we used to get all types of junk, you know, from the farmer's market, you know, on the Friday or whatever, the bogarun. And you never know what you're going to get free or cheap. And one half of it used to go for the Sunday feast. And the other half of it, you got to stretch through the whole week, you know, for everybody. So you had to know all different varieties of preparation to make with that stuff, you know, to make it stretch, you know. And sometimes you just didn't have proper ingredients, you know. So you knew also there's other stuff you can substitute. If you're going to put this in, then you put this spice on you, other things like that, to make it roar, to make it good, you know. Cooks knew how to do it. Like I also mentioned, sometimes they mention, well, the Karmis are eating meat, so should we give grains on a codicil in our restaurants? If they do, this means the cooks are lousy. Because any cook worth their salt knows how to make a lot of good codicil preparations. It's like yesterday wasn't so bad. Vishwa Karma knows. You know, on the appearance day of the Lord, it should be an Ekadasi feast. So he made all different preparations, all the Ekadasi stuff. He knows what he's doing. He's good, you know. All right, like that. It's something to think about, you know. Feast, we can eat today. Eat grains are always there for the deities the next day. No one dies for, you know, want of grains, you know, for one night, you know, like that. But if devotion is there, then it'll be good. Devotion is more important than the item, than the quality. Of course, quality is part of the bhakti. Part of love is to give good quality. You try to give your best, whatever you can. Some days, circumstantially, you just don't got it. It's like the older generation. When things are very expensive and the grandchildren are junk, then the older generation leave their body happily, you know. Otherwise, there was a fitness guru, Jack LaLanne, who left his body last year at the age of 96. And at 90, in his sleep. And at 95, a journalist asked him, what are you thinking about death? And he goes, bad for my profile. You know, he was basically an educator, you know. So he left his body. At 80 years old, he pulled two boats full of people under the Bay River in San Francisco. Two boats full of people. Underwater at 80 years old, the guy was strong as a bull. And he was always a fitness guru and like that. Very nice. Anything else? That's all. That's what the guy said. Hare Krishna. Jai Kishore Kishore Gornatai Jagannath Baladev Subhadramaya. Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai. Narahari Ki Jai.